Welcome, welcome, welcome. My name is Luca Malaguti, and I am your host for today's episode of the Alchemy Podcast. I am super, super excited to be sitting down with our guest today. He is a friend, a mentor, a man well known in this freediving community. Every time we sit down, we always talk about just incredible topics: the future of free diving, mental health and free diving, psychedelics and free diving, biochemistry. We always have a range of incredible topics to discuss. This man is, of course, Gary McGrath, British national record holder and very deep free diver. It is my great pleasure to finally be interviewing Gary the Hammer McGrath. That is his nickname, which I have invented and will be stuck forever.
Yes.
Gary the Hammer McGrath.
Okay. I think that'll look good.
Why the Hammer? I don't know. I don't remember.
No, why the Hammer?
I remember we started with that nickname when we were living together in Andrea Zuccari's house and we were training and we both got COVID. And I don't know why, but there was a lot of diclofenac and a lot of fever at that time.
Yeah.
So
we can wholeheartedly endorse diclofenac suppositories
for
COVID.
To anybody that ever gets COVID, because it's still going around now, if you have debilitating weakness and fever, you take diclofenac suppositories. They have to be suppositories, and let the record show that Gary the Hammer McGrath took plenty of suppositories. To anybody that doesn't know what a suppository is, it is what you put up your rectum.
Yeah, and it does wonders for fever. And if you've got a good friend like Luca to help you apply the suppository.
I did no such thing. There were no such application on my end. I was taking my own. Thank you very much.
Look, we've been talking for 30 seconds and we've gone way off topic.
That is the point of this podcast. That is the point of it. But it was amazing because at that time you were pushing fucking 112 meters. You were going for the British record. You had trained for months. And we are living in Andrea Zuccari's house. So I felt the good energy.
Yeah, I was by osmosis, I was getting a good equalization through the floor from Andrea.
We had such a good space. Amazing kitchen, quiet. Yeah. We had a pool with the exercises that you were doing in the morning, which I want to definitely talk about later. Those were like a game changer, such a good approach. So if you're listening to this now, stay tuned because these are amazing warm-up exercises. We had such a good space. We were having good food. We were cooking. And things were going so well. I mean, wow. Like, I know my diving was doing better than it ever had. This was May 2021. You were like crushing it. You'd gone from the 90s to like popping into 110 plus easily.
Yeah, but I hit my first 100 that year in winter, you know, January.
Yeah,
in
for your birthday, your 40th birthday.
It was my 40th
your
birthday.
Your 40th birthday, you hit 100 meters.
Yeah, yeah.
What a present.
Yeah, training in it didn't faze me at all, the cold weather, and there was no one around. It was just me and Tito. That's when I first met Tito.
That's right.
And it was just us going out to train. They were opening the center for me in January, and it was lovely.
Freediving world.
Yeah, and the cold water. I was in two old 1.5.
I remember
meters,
that.
Double layer on top, and just 1.5 on my legs, in my old Glide monofin, which was like a lump of wood.
But yeah, we were. It was May 2021. You were doing such amazing dives. And then we got COVID really, really bad. Delta, full on Delta strain.
Yeah, it was like the original Mark One COVID. It was good, man.
Heavy. Yeah, exactly. Full South African, South African.
Yeah.
And it knocked us out. I mean, it knocked me out hard,
but
I wasn't pushing my immune system the way you were.
No, exactly. I was really probably quite compromised. Yeah, we were eating well, though. I was resting well.
We were doing the ice baths.
Ice baths,
we were doing the ice baths.
Yeah, ice baths were good.
Yeah. And yet, you were on the bed
Yeah. I mean, we lived in the same house. I don't think you didn't see me for about a week.
Yeah.
You know, our rooms were next to each other and I couldn't get out.
You could not get out of bed.
Walk into the bathroom, which it was an ensuite room. Yeah. Walking to the bathroom was getting me really out of breath.
Yes.
And giving me lactic.
That's crazy.
It's a 3 meter walk.
Yeah. That's nuts. Like going from 112 meters, crushing it, to not being able to walk to the bathroom.
Yeah.
Being one of the, like an elite athlete with your system just perfect. Mm. And then, boom, not being able to walk to the bathroom.
I'm not sure what I could have done. You know, something as aggressive as COVID, I think it's going to get you no matter how rested you are and how good your nutrition is. I perhaps wasn't keeping a good eye on my supplementation.
Probably.
Yeah, I have a few more things I take now, antioxidant wise, and just general health vitamins that seem to keep me healthy. Who knows? It's winter time coming now, so let's see.
True. Something you remedied when you went to the Bahamas for Vertical Blue.
Oh yeah,
which
yeah,
was epic.
A lot of research,
and I think
a lot of
you
work.
Taught a lot of the community people. A lot of people in the community, and I heard this through a lot of people, were like, "Oh, that's a smart move.
That's nice.
What Gary's
that's
doing.
Good to hear,
shit."
Yeah. Cool.
You know?
Yeah, that's good to hear. Yeah.
Yeah. Awesome, awesome. Cool. Well, yeah, that was somewhat of an introduction. Anyways, a real introduction. Pleasure to have Gary the Hammer McGrath on. I'm just kidding. That's not his real nickname. I'm just the guy who gives people's nicknames. I don't know why. Gary McGrath, British national record holder, one of the deepest people alive today. And it's a pleasure to have you here on this podcast and to interview you.
Thanks. Are we done? Can we go?
That's it. Yeah, it's over. We've condensed it all. Today I wanted to chat about kind of what we touched into, overcoming COVID, coming back from that, mental state and patience and free diving, taking the time to approach depth, kind of like what we just said. You gifted yourself a 100-meter dive for your 40th birthday, mm-hmm. which is just awesome.
Yeah.
And that alone inspired a lot of people to realize this is a lifelong pursuit. This is the kind of sport like high altitude mountaineering, which takes time. Mm. You rush, you don't enjoy it. You don't do any benefit to your body and your mind. Definitely want to chat about you going to Vertical Blue, the road to Vertical Blue, everything you did to get there. The good, the bad, and the ugly, and and a couple of tips that you will give people.
Mm.
And also what you do in the summertime, how you coach, and obviously definitely want to know about what you do in Ibiza, the kind of retreats you run, because that's pretty freaking cool, I think.
Yeah.
So definitely chat about that. But yeah, back to that COVID story. So we're in Sharm, May 2021. Some of the best athletes in the world are there for that competition.
Yeah, it was
free
a big
diving
one.
World. Yeah.
It was a big one, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Huge competition, massive after party, where we're all sharing a bottle of, I think it was Vitamir that was passing around this bottle of whiskey. We're all sharing that. We're passing around joints. We're smoking. We're doing drugs. Yes, free diving world. Guess what?
I wasn't
there. Best athletes in the world do everything when it comes to partying. Because
I wasn't there.
You were totally there.
I was in bed.
You were in bed. It's true. You did miss the party. Yeah. Yeah. But that's after that party, everybody got COVID. It was pretty funny.
I was the first one, though.
You were the first one.
I was patient zero.
You were patient zero. Yeah. Everybody knows.
Good quality COVID.
But what's funny is that when you got it, you were completely immobilized. You were bedridden. Is that the word?
Yeah, for at least a week. Yeah. I didn't leave the apartment.
No.
Yeah.
Fever. You missed most of the comp.
Yeah, because I was the first diver on the first day.
Yeah.
And you want that first dive to be amazing, and it's on my Instagram. When we publish this, I'll repost that video of my surface protocol.
Yeah,
you can see me just shaking like crazy, having the hugest samba.
Yeah.
I never managed to get hold of the bottom camera footage. But they said that from the camera, they could see quite high up and around 80, 90 my free fall came out of position. It was a really messy dive. It doesn't happen to me. My dives are good.
Yeah.
They're always as close to perfect as I can get.
Yeah.
You know? And I remember one point I just felt the rope brushing the back of my neck, which at a weird angle. Like a horizontal angle.
Was it the current? Because Sharma's famous
for
current.
No idea. I think there was current. I remember Tito went deep to check. He does that every day.
Yeah.
He goes down to like 50 with that scooter.
Yeah,
and just 50, checks
even
the current.
60. Yeah.
Yeah. And he says to me, you know, it's good conditions today. There's no current. Yeah. So, yeah, potentially it might have just picked up, or it might have been a deeper current, or it might have been the beginnings of that COVID just affecting me, you know?
Wow.
Yeah, it was nuts. Narcosis was strong on that dive. And that was, at that time, narcosis was a very new thing for me. I hadn't been over 100 a lot, maybe 7 or 8 times.
Explain narcosis, nitrogen narcosis, for the people listening that don't know what nitrogen narcosis is.
I mean, there's tons of nitrogen in the air we breathe and we don't metabolize it. So at depth, when we're diving, it gets pushed into our system and it just sits there.
Makes us drunk.
Yeah, pretty much. Like it's connected. Yeah, the word narcotic, narcosis.
Right.
You know, they're all connected. It sits in your system. And when you have too high levels of it, it affects your motor functions. And it's a huge subject, actually, that we don't really, we know a bit about how it affects free divers.
Yeah.
But not a lot. We don't know a lot.
We don't know that much.
And it affects people differently than, you know, some people say they feel narcosis on a 50, 60 meter dive. I don't know about that. Maybe it's hypoxia. But I certainly, dives over 104, 105, I'll pretty much be guaranteed to have something.
Get narked.
Yeah. And it was playing on my mind. I was like, I'm going to be narked. I don't like it. And it took me a while to actually think, what happens when you're narked? And it's just audio hallucinations I get.
Interesting.
Nothing visual.
Nothing visual.
I may get a memory blank where I turn and then I start to make my way up. Next thing I know, I'm seeing a safety diver. So I miss a chunk of the dive, but I'm running automatically, mm-hmm. you know. So that's not necessarily a bad thing, you know, especially if it's a hard ascent, if you don't remember it. I mean, cool. You just, all of a sudden you're up on the surface. But I get this, I've tried to describe it a lot. And actually, I'm sort of editing a little mini documentary about Vertical Blue at the moment. And
nice.
We're going to try and recreate this sound with a sound engineer. It's like, I imagine, you know those barbecue trays, tinfoil trays?
Yeah.
It's kind of like someone's got one of them on your head and is banging it with a spoon.
That loud?
Not very loud. But it's like wah 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 wah, echoey,
really?
Metallic. Yeah, it's weird. Wah, 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 yeah, wah, 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 wah. I say it's like a car alarm. It sounds like a metallic car
I'm
alarm.
Kidding.
Yeah,
that's why people like to wear maybe fluid goggles.
Potentially, this is something I explored because I started to seek advice from more experienced people about like how can I avoid this.
Right.
Ultimately, I think it's kind of. To a point, it's unavoidable. You can, you go deep enough for long enough, you're going to get it. But you can ease it off, I think, by being a bit more mentally present, seems to be one of the main ones. Being super well hydrated with correct water, correct minerals, not just drinking lots of bottled water.
Yeah. Pro tip, everybody.
Yeah.
Pro tip, Gary always says, make sure you're hydrated 24 to 72 hours before.
Yeah, your hydration is a constant. It's a constant thing you should be checking on. You cannot wake up on the morning of your dive and down a liter.
No way. It will not do the
same as slowly getting the water into you for the last 24 hours before. So hydration
super
begins
important.
24 hours before.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you're feeling dehydrated, it's kind of too late, you know.
Amazing advice, to the point where I told you the other day, not joking, I was peeing and I looked at the color of my pee, which I do always because I'm always concerned about being hydrated.
Absolutely.
And it was orange and I had your voice in my mind.
Yeah.
So every time I pee and I'm a bit dehydrated and my pee is a little yellow orange, I have your voice in my mind, no matter where I am in the world. And I think, oh, fuck, I'm not hydrated enough. Gary would not be happy right now.
I'm honored you think of me at those moments.
But it's funny because those little things are what remind you to be consistent and dialed into doing the things you're supposed to be doing.
Yeah.
You know, like remind yourself to be hydrated. Otherwise, you can be more prone to narcosis, be more prone to a lung squeeze, be more prone to hypoxia.
Yeah, yeah,
It's a very simple thing you can remedy.
Yeah, hydration is crucial, and putting the right things in your water, making sure all the key minerals, you know, salts, magnesium, etc., all the electrolytes. But so it's easy to manage.
It's easy to manage, yeah. So it was the days coming up to the competition, and you were pushing 100 meters plus.
Yeah.
You were confident, you were crushing these depths. You even came out at one point and like you didn't even like fucking James Bond, you didn't even take a breath. You just grabbed your lady and gave her a kiss.
Yeah.
And she was like, breathe, motherfucker. But you're like, I'm gonna kiss my lady first, which is super badass. So but you didn't anticipate that this little variable of COVID was gonna really throw things off.
So something was definitely off on that journey down, because that free fall fell completely out of position for whatever reason. I think it's more to do with my body beginning to fight something.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the bottom camera footage, that's where we were, weren't we? Bottom camera footage. They said they could see me completely almost horizontal.
That's crazy.
Which is not right. And to feel that rope like behind my neck and stuff, you know, the rope should be in front of me. It was odd. That's one of the last things of that descent I remember. I remember the turn. And then that whole journey up was a memory blank. Crazy. I remember seeing the safety divers, and I think I made eye contact. I locked on, because this is one of the things I started to develop on my ascent, to combat narcosis and just to keep me more present.
Really?
Yeah, I needed to wake up. I played about with having a dive time alarm. But, you know, my dives, they fluctuate, you know, give or take 5-10 seconds sometimes, okay. You know. I do it on feeling. Then I'm not like, you know, William Trubridge doing a no-fins dive. I've trained with him in Ibiza, and he can give you his dive time to the second.
To the second.
You know.
Every time.
But you know, no-fins is perhaps a bit more precise. You know, you put a little bit more effort with a monofin and you're going to go very fast.
Mm-hmm.
So the dive time alarm thing wasn't really working for me, but I needed some kind of a mental anchor on the way up, and I chose to use the safety divers as that.
Super cool. So opening your eyes more than you normally would in a dive.
Yeah.
Just and making just contact.
Exactly. Boom. And really thinking, oh, that's Tito. Yeah. That's Roberto, you know, kind of waking my mind up a little bit.
Yeah, who is that? Oh, that's my safety diver, Tito, safety diver, Roberto.
But I've got a bit of GoPro footage of my ascent. Usually, you know, by 20 or 15 on the way up, I'd bring my arms down. I dive quite light, so I'd let buoyancy take me up.
Yeah.
And I kind of kicked quite high. I just kept kicking. I was on autopilot.
Oh, okay.
Because the narcosis, hypoxia, all of that. So I arrived to the top, you know, with quite a splash.
Yeah.
And then, you can see I'm smiling as I'm shaking.
Yeah.
As I'm having my LMC, I'm smiling. But then, I didn't dip.
Oh, you didn't dip.
And I'll show you guys on the video. I was shaking like crazy. I'm over, leaning over, holding onto this line.
How high was your hand?
My hand was high. Yeah.
Like proper rock climbing high.
Not crazy high, but my hand was up.
Okay.
But there was, the waves were going up and down a bit, but I didn't dip.
You didn't dip?
No, but I was over.
Over 15.
Over 15 seconds, so I got the red card for it.
So what's a valuable lesson you learned from your friend Luca Malagudi, a.k.a.?
Yeah, I must punch myself in the face.
Punch myself in the balls.
Yeah, anyone who hasn't seen this, go on Luca's Instagram page. There's a video of him doing the most awesome surface protocol ever.
It recovered.
Yeah, it worked.
And I didn't dip either.
Yeah.
And I felt hypoxia.
Was that the same day? Or a different competition?
Different competition. That was November 2021.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. It's hilarious.
Remember, my surface protocol was 14.9,
On that dive?
Yes.
Oh, lucky boy.
Catherine's official gauge, 14.8. Pim's official gauge, 14.9.
Wow.
National record.
Yeah.
It was good.
Cool.
So if you would have slapped yourself...
Yeah, maybe I would have got that. Yeah.
You would have gotten it.
Yeah. But, you know, I was okay with not getting it, because it would have been my first ever national record in anything.
Mm-hmm.
And I wanted it to be perfect.
Oh, fuck you.
So, yeah, I just wanted it to be the best dive ever.
The best dive ever. That's fair.
I'm quite
that's
strict.
Your philosophy. That's your approach. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you know, I'm not saying aim for perfection because, you know, we break that down and perfection's unattainable, but you should be the best you can be. And it wasn't. You know,
it wasn't. Yeah.
Yeah. I could have fought through that and got it, but there would have been a little voice. A little stone in my shoe, you know,
yeah,
niggling at me for that. And yeah, and it's okay. It was a big life lesson,
mm-hmm,
about learning patience in life and patience with my diving.
Yep.
It didn't feel like failure.
No, eh?
I don't think I had time to process it because that afternoon I just fell asleep on the sun lounger in the middle of the afternoon, which I don't do.
Oh, right.
People were there. It was social. And I literally, my head nodded and I fell asleep for like an hour.
And I
was like, yeah. And I was like, that's a bit unusual. And then that night,
that's
COVID.
When COVID got you.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then it was a week of being in bed.
Yeah, I was in it. Fully sick. Yeah.
It was the first day of the comp.
Yeah.
First day of the competition, so May 2021.
It's the most expensive dive of my life.
Yeah, exactly. One dive, €500.
Yeah. And not to mention accommodation, training,
oh,
time,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah. Everything.
Yeah. But it was a €500 dive. Yeah.
Crazy. Crazy, crazy. But it was an amazing time. And, you know, that story reminds me of our good friend, John Munoz of Colombia.
Yeah.
Who... I mean, he almost died. He was bedridden for 18 days.
Yeah, he's really sick. Huh?
He was debilitated. He lost hair. He was on the edge.
Mm.
And if it wasn't for, I like to say at least, if it wasn't for his apnea, breath holding training capacity, he would have probably died.
His
parachuting instructor.
Yeah.
Skydiving instructor.
This guy,
who was an ex-Navy SEAL, freaking 6-foot-plus monster.
Yeah.
Who got COVID with him at the same time in Florida.
Wow.
He died after 22 days in bed.
He passed away. Yeah,
you know, he passed away. And it's crazy.
Yeah.
Like some, you know, like on one hand, we don't know anything about COVID and the effect on lungs and depth and pressure, let alone the mix of hypoxia COVID and nitrogen narcosis that you just described. But, we can definitely say that having trained the lungs the way you have and other free divers, it saved your ass.
I think so. Yeah. Yeah. I still coughed blood. I coughed blood.
You coughed blood?
Yeah.
That's crazy. And you've never squeezed.
At that point, I've had one squeeze, but it was way after that, you know? So it's not like I had, I was a squeezer.
You're not someone to have a squeeze, aka a lung barotrauma. In 15 years of diving,
16 years,
one.
I know exactly what happened on that dive.
Yeah. Whereas we know people that squeeze every other day and keep diving, and it's the stupidest approach.
Yeah, that would scare me.
Yeah. So it was incredible. I mean, again, we were staying at Andrea Zuccari's house. We were having an amazing time, eating well. Doing our training in the pool outside, and then boom, we both got hit pretty hard.
Yeah, but that's all right. As I say, the lesson I take away is patience. It didn't feel like failure. It felt like another obstacle to climb over.
Beautiful.
And that was fine. I bided my time.
Yep.
It
made it all the much better when you got to Bahamas.
Yeah. It made it all the more sweeter when I finally got that record, even though I had to wait over a year.
Over a year.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Like 14 months I had to wait. Yeah.
But not only you did it, you crushed it in the end. You went beyond.
Mm.
Right? 114?
No, sorry. I did the one. It was 112. I did.
112. Yeah.
I had one more dive left in the competition, but I was burnt. I was done.
Yeah.
I was done. Psychologically, I was done.
You were happy.
Yeah. So I said, you know, I had that dive and I didn't want to waste it. I wanted to get in the water and I announced 90. But it was the day after the 112. Ah. So it was hard.
It was a hard 90.
It was a hard 90. Yeah, it was a lactic, burny 90. Yeah.
Good for you, though. That's the right way to do it.
Yeah. And that was, you know, I don't want to say it was a tough decision to make, but it was a decision to make. There was the voice inside my head saying, do 115. Come on, try it.
turning on the light here. Beauty.
Yep.
Ah, you were thinking 115. Nah, that wasn't.
Well, there was a little voice saying, but then the louder voice was saying, don't. Just have fun.
Exactly.
Yeah, and I'm glad I made that decision because the 90 felt so hard. I would have, if I'd gone over 100, I probably would have had a wobble.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I trusted my body, you know?
Yeah. So let's chat about this next segment, On the Road to Vertical Blue. I mean, this is super interesting story. A lot of people are inspired to go to Vertical Blue. I know I am. Vertical Blue is the biggest competition of the year. It's known as the Wimbledon of freediving. Mm-hmm. It's held in the Bahamas, a famous Dean's Blue Hole.
Yeah.
It's hosted by the famous William Troubridge. And it's an incredibly powerful place to be, I assume.
Yeah, it's the comp I've been watching for 10 years.
Yes, yeah, you know,
I think it was the first one 2008 or something like that.
It's been around for a long time.
I don't know, it's been around for a while.
Yeah.
And back then, it was kind of like just a bunch of friends. They did each other's safety. They had a couple of people who were safety, but, you know, the athletes were expected to do a couple of days of safety and stuff.
Oh,
you know?
Kidding.
Yeah, it's crazy. Yeah, yeah, it's quite a sweet kind of community story there. You know?
Do your 100-meter dive and then get on safety.
Yeah, and then go into safety,
That's pretty funny.
Yeah. So the journey to VB really started around Christmas.
Christmas 2021.
By then
you had already healed, you had gotten back.
It was plenty of time after
plenty
that.
Time,
and I wanted to get back to it. You know, I wanted to push and, you know, VB. I finally felt, okay, I was valid. I belonged at VB. I finally felt as a 100-plus-meter diver, I thought, okay, come on. If it's not now, when is it going to be?
Yes.
And I had this period in my life where both me and Lim were just like, really got to just make stuff happen for yourself. You can't wait around for stuff.
No.
You got to kick things into gear.
Yes.
Do it. So that was the philosophy that we were kind of trying to live our life by. And it was good. Things were happening.
That's cool.
If you make them happen, you got to make it. You got to really work. And then I sent a message through to Will and was just like, there's a place. So I just thought, okay.
This was the Christmas before.
Yeah.
This is Christmas 2021.
Yeah.
And VB was held in August 2022.
No, this was Christmas 2022, the same year. Yeah, last year.
Last year?
Sorry. This year.
Too much hypoxia.
Yeah, too much.
Yeah.
Too much hypoxia, yeah.
The Christmas before, because VB is held in the summer.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
And it was the summer of 2022, so this past summer at the time of this recording.
Yeah, that's
right. And it was Christmas 2021.
Yeah.
Months after getting COVID and recovering, you said, I'm going to go for it.
Yeah, and I just all of a sudden, I just found myself one night just making that decision and transferring the money. And it was like, oh, I've thrown my hat into the ring now.
Now I've got to make it happen.
Now it's real. Now I had to make it happen because it cleaned my bank account out.
Andres Thompson, buy the ticket, take the ride, baby.
Yeah, literally. And then I started to think, okay, how am I going to make this happen? I worked out a rough budget.
Yeah.
First person I spoke to said, stick a couple of thousand on top of that. Next person I spoke to, Stig, he said, stick 4,000 on top of that.
Fuck.
And I'm like, what? The budget is 4,000. what are you talking about?
You did a GoFundMe thing too.
I had to do a GoFundMe. Friends, in January of that year, friends said, why don't you crowdfund it?
Mm-hmm.
And that, I don't know, I'm probably a bit stubbornly independent.
Yeah.
And that idea didn't sit right with me.
It's too low. It's too beneath me to get
that. No.
No, it's true. That's
no, no. I felt indebted to people and I didn't like that. Money's a funny subject for me. You know, I don't like it. Money's horrible, what it does to people.
True.
And our relationships and stuff. You know.
But it's also necessary to live a happy, good, independent life.
Yeah. So they started, some good friends started really talking to me about it. And I was just instantly, I was like, nah, that doesn't sit right. And then I played around with a lot of ideas. I was like, well, anyone who gives me money, I have to give something back to them. Like I'll sell online EQ courses or training sessions and stuff. And that was the plan. I had this whole thing written out, and I wanted to record a video saying this is what I'm offering. And then another Dan Verhoeven, I spoke to him, and he was just like, you know what, you're borrowing money from yourself.
Yeah.
Because you've got to work that off.
You kind of realize how much work that would be after,
yeah,
two.
Yeah, and he broke it down to me. He was like, okay, let's round numbers. Let's say it costs you 10,000 and you're selling, you know, an hour's coaching or a coaching session for 100 euros. That's, you work that out, how many hours of work you have to do to make that money. And I was like, yeah, I'm setting myself up for a lot of work there. And a lot of work that will be going on through the competition.
Yes.
The feeling of really anxiousness of wanting to give that back to
having
people.
To pay back.
Yeah, yeah. And which, you know, it's a great thing to sell your services for money. That's but I was borrowing money from myself, you know. So I started to come around to the idea of just saying, you know, my gift to people giving me money was them just accompanying me on the journey, really.
Yes.
And that's why I tried to be as good as I could with social media. It doesn't come very naturally to me, but the feedback I got, the connection with people,
huge.
That's what took me through VB, man. That's really, I felt like I had the world behind me, and it was a wonderful feeling.
Yeah.
Just yeah. Anyone listening, you know, you see a post and you think, oh, I'll reply to that, and you half type out a message and then you think, oh, I'll come back to that in a minute. I don't want to send it. They won't be listening. People are listening, you know.
People are listening, and they appreciate.
Really.
I've had some messages for this podcast, people saying, what I just listened to just fucking saved my life this week.
Yeah. And that's such a wonderful
feeling. Your
photo
and what you wrote, or that little cheesy quote, made my day.
Yeah.
Thank you. I'm going through some mental health issues. You have no idea how much that just helped.
Yeah.
And you helped a lot of people.
Yeah. It's such a wonderful thing to get back from people.
Because I think you realized, without guilt, that gratitude is best felt when given. And we could talk about the dopamine behind this to get nerdy. Yeah. But that's the truth. People wanted to give to you because they knew what you were going to do with it.
Yeah.
And they also knew what you've done for this community.
Yeah, it was a wonderful lesson about accepting as well.
Yes.
You know, the whole process about taking, you know, accepting something from a stranger.
Yeah.
One of the greatest donations I had, someone sent me £5. And I was just like, that's the one that I remember.
Yeah.
Because that person thought, this is the maximum I can give. Five.
£5.
What can you buy with five? You can buy a coffee
and
a piece of cake if you're lucky. But that five was a lot of money to that person.
Yeah.
And that five is in my head almost every day.
That's cool.
£5, you know?
That's amazing.
Yeah. It was nice. That was the nicest one. Obviously, the other donations were incredible. And it was like, it took months for me to publish that GoFundMe campaign. Because it was a personal battle.
Yes.
It didn't, you know, with me and my relationship with money and stuff. And once I did, I checked back 45 minutes later, someone had put 100 quid in.
Wow.
I checked back 4 hours later, it was up to 250. I was blown away because 250 quid for me is a lot of money. That's a lot of money. And I was just like, wow. So people have given me this. I don't even know who they were. It was anonymous. And then it just steamrolled, and I kept up with the social media stuff, and people were helping, man. It was wonderful. So kind, so kind.
Big thank you to the incredible wisdom of Dan Verhoeven.
Yeah.
That man, Dan, if you're listening.
Dan and George were absolutely crucial in the greatest year of my life. They're good people, man. Yeah.
I was with Dan for a project in Greenland, and I won't say what he told me, but he said a few words to me that completely like made me realize something, which changed essentially the outcome of how I saw the project.
Yeah.
Which it was something that was so obvious and was in front of my face, but I would have never seen it otherwise. So Dan Verhoeven, amazing human being. Great advice.
I say he's the dumbest smart guy I have ever met.
He is the dumbest smart guy you've ever met.
And he has music taste like a 14-year-old girl.
Does he?
Yeah, he does.
Music tastes like a 14-year-old girl. Poor Dan.
Yeah, but he makes good coffee. Let's hope he doesn't listen to this. Yeah.
Yeah, and that's wonderful. That's the and when I read about that from a psychological and a neuroscience point of view, how gratitude is truly appreciated more when you give. And it has to do with with the dopamine levels that increase when you give gratitude more than you receive it.
Yeah.
When I read that, when I understood that, I was like, wow, okay, that makes sense why people are philanthropic, why people want to give and support other people.
Yeah.
And
what it's, you a, did it's a nice that, thing to do for people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's fantastic. And you brought that to the next level. And at VB, you were saying you kept up with the social media, you were introducing the world to your point of view of it, which was really nice. You were you're getting the shot from behind the vertical blue, so it was kind of cool, from like the cave.
Yeah.
And you said something really, really cool, which I know it impacted me. You said you only get one first dive at vertical blue, so no matter what, enjoy it.
Yeah.
Where did that come from?
I don't think it came from anywhere. It just came from my realization, you know, because it wasn't an easy ride. It wasn't like I launched the crowdfunding and everything just happened. I never knew if I'd get enough, you know.
Right.
I was trying to work as hard as I could.
Yep.
And contribute, you know, as much as I could from my earnings, but I was never going to get there, you know, on my own.
Nope.
And I didn't know if I'd have enough money with the crowdfunding plus my own money and stuff like that. So it wasn't easy. Mentally, like, this has been the nuttiest year of my life. Mentally, it wasn't an easy ride the start of this year. It felt like, at times, it felt like pressure, real pressure, VB. Yes. It was challenging. I experienced depression for the first time.
You did?
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. What months was this?
January, February, March.
Okay.
It began. Yeah.
Now was the winter of my discontent.
Yes.
Where were you during this time?
I was here in Dahab.
In Dahab.
Yeah, okay. I was in Dahab, yeah.
Right. Yeah. A lot of questions, a lot of whys and how to answer.
Why am I
even
doing this? Why am I, you know, the feeling of guilt, the feeling of being indebted to a lot of people for helping me, you know?
Yes.
It was strange, yeah. So, yeah.
How did you overcome that?
Talking, counseling.
Yeah.
I started to talk to someone, and that's what that's what crazy Americans do, counselors and shrinks. And it was, you know, no one does that in England.
No one does that.
No. Crazy people do that. You know?
I read somewhere where going to see your therapist is a new dark and tall for women. Dark, handsome, and tall. You ever hear that? No? It was a good line. It's like, you know how women like dark, handsome, and
tall? Tall, dark, and handsome.
Tall, dark, and handsome, right? Tall, dark, and handsome?
Yeah.
Being mentally open and going to actively see therapy is the new tall, dark, and handsome.
Okay.
It's a pretty good line. Nice. That was the line, yeah.
Yeah, I get that, yeah.
Yeah. And you are tall, dark, and handsome as well.
Oh, yeah. Thank you.
You're welcome. So you reached out and you helped, you got help and you talked to somebody.
Yeah. It wasn't like I reached out. I had to do something.
Yeah.
But VB was a big thing. It was really stressing me. And, you know, it's easy to give up. It's easy just to say, this is causing me so much stress. So remove the stress, dude. Don't go. Just forget it. Don't go. Stay in Dahab. Don't worry about it.
Yeah.
And yeah, that would have been an easy ride for sure. But that's not the dream of my life, is it?
No.
Not going is just like, nah, that would suck.
Exactly.
Yeah. So yeah, I was working through all that, all the while trying to raise the money. You know, I did it. I got there. Yeah.
Who did you speak to? A psychotherapist, a psychologist?
I'm not sure I know the difference, but I spoke to a counselor. Online. There's
fantastic.
Reaching out, that first step is really hard.
I can imagine.
Because you have to admit that you need help. And for, I don't know what it's like for other guys, but for guys who don't have, especially coming from a culture where guys don't talk, guys are fine, stiff upper lip. It was hard. But I was at a point where this is going to destroy everything around me.
Fuck.
Yeah, it was tough. And the strain on my relationship was tough, and the strain on mental health, Yeah. So, and I'm really proud to talk about it, to be honest. If anyone listening to this wants to drop me a line, I will always have an ear open. Stranger, anyone.
I'm going to pick your brain about this later in private, and I'm going to get that content.
Yeah, because we all have ups and downs, man, and no one does any of this on their own.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. You could be in heaven, but you could be hell in your mind.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's so easy to feel guilty because you're comparing yourself. Oh, what are my problems to somebody in Ukraine right now who's experiencing war? But the truth is, you could have war in your mind.
Yeah.
And it could be just as devastating to you.
Yeah. So, you know, I'm incredibly proud that I did VB, that I got my national record.
Yeah.
But I think I'm more proud of the way I held it together.
Yes.
With the help I got from everyone around me. Yeah. Amazing. Yeah. It was an interesting journey.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah,
fucking A, amazing
journey. But amazing. Yeah, it wasn't easy. So we left Dahab. I went down to George and Dan's place for a week.
Right. Yeah.
Had a little bit of a holiday. I did a depth workshop.
This was in what month?
This would have been in May.
In May 2021.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Was this before or after Naples?
This was after Naples.
So just after Naples.
I left Sharm.
You left Sharm.
I left Sharm, traveling to the UK. I found a nice flight that gave me 21 hours in Naples.
So I thought, hours in Naples.
So I thought, get a hotel.
Fantastic.
Arrive late at night, get a hotel, spend the rest of the morning.
Who advised you to go to Naples?
EasyJet.
EasyJet.
EasyJet told me to do it.
EasyJet told you to go to Sharm to Naples.
Yeah.
So anybody listening, there's awesome flights from Sharm to Naples. And particularly Naples, because I discovered that after you spend a lot of time in Egypt, where as amazing as Egypt is, the food is not what it is in Italy. Let's be honest.
Oh, yeah.
So to go from Sharm, to go to eat from Egypt to Naples and eat the food there is an incredibly refreshing, nutritional thing.
Yeah, I had a pizza almost as big as me for breakfast. It was amazing. Great. So I had a hotel, got my bag off the flight, blah, blah, blah. Had a lovely day in Naples, went to the airport, checked my bag in, and never saw it again.
Never saw it again.
So I'm on my way to the biggest competition of my life, and my entire bag with everything, monofin, two wetsuits, mask, snorkel, da-da-da-da.
So it wasn't my fault, it was EasyJet's fault.
It was EasyJet's fault, yeah.
Because I advised you to go to Naples, and go eat at these places and take some time for yourself. I want you to go to this trattoria, to this pizzeria.
Yeah.
And I was so happy when you sent me the pictures and the videos when you were there.
Yeah.
It made me really happy. I was like, yes, Gary's fucking eating good food before he goes to VB, you know?
Yeah, it was a little cheap.
Or even worse, before he goes to the UK.
Yeah. Yeah. The bag just disappeared. And, EasyJet, screw you guys, man. They ignored me for months. And actually, we're that was May. We're talking now in December. It's Christmas tomorrow.
Yeah, that's right.
And only last week did they offer me money. That's how long it's
taken.
I sent like, I think 50 or 60 emails to them.
Jeez. So you had an amazing day in Naples.
Beautiful.
You went to all the pizzerias, the trattorias, the coffee, everything I advised you to go to. You had a great time. You get back to the airport. You fly to the UK.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And sorry. I flew to Ibiza.
You flew to Ibiza.
Yeah.
And when you got there, everything was lost.
Yeah, the bag didn't turn up.
Never arrived.
Okay, no biggie.
No biggie.
They took my details. It'll turn up. It happens.
Never showed up.
Never showed up.
Monofin. What else? Wetsuits.
Two wetsuits. Neck weight. All the stuff that you pack to live out of that bag for 3 months.
So 2,000 euros of gear.
Yeah.
Obviously adds to the stress as you are
saving
money to go to Vertical Blue, which has already costed you $4,000, $5,000, $6,000.
Yeah. And I was like, what the hell am I going to do? You know? So in the meantime, it was only going to be for a few weeks. We were staying with my buddy Dave Phillips, who runs saltfish freediving in Ibiza. Anyone heading out that way,
yes,
hit Dave up.
Dave is an amazing freediver,
he's an even better DJ,
and he runs a beautiful place called Saltfish.
Yeah, he'll show you around Ibiza. So you know, he lent me all his kit to train in. We were going to Ibiza to do my retreat.
Yes.
Our retreat.
Yes.
Sorry. Freediving yoga retreat, that's our business. So we ran a very successful retreat. I did the whole retreat in Dave's kit because I had nothing. And that was wonderful. We it was full. We had a really good week with a really bunch of cool people, introducing them to free diving, introducing them to Ibiza, good food.
Yoga.
Yeah.
Everything.
Everything. Yeah. So full immersion.
And so you run these retreats in the summertime?
Yeah, summertime's in Ibiza. We obviously we've got plans to expand and travel a bit more with Fantastic. Them. There's so many amazing locations.
And you just show up, there's accommodation, food,
yeah.
meditation, yoga, the whole package.
Yeah, yeah. Fantastic. We have a chef, we rent a villa.
Everyone stays in the same chef villa. So it's really like an amazing experience.
Yeah, and it's like just an introduction week to freediving, really.
Beautiful.
And it's not training as such.
Yeah.
But it's we teach them, breath holding or, all the things you need to know. And then we get them in the water. And the idea is we do a couple of days of like line diving tuition.
Yeah.
Where people learn. And then we take them to some cool spots, some caves and swim throughs and, some beautiful secluded bays in Ibiza. To use what they've learned, because not everyone's into line diving. They just, they want to explore underwater, and it's so rewarding. It's such a lovely way to work and earn your money. It's really nice. Yeah,
I completely agree with that.
Yeah,
people get the confidence and the skills line diving, and then they can detach from that and apply it to a real situation.
Yeah,
which essentially allows them to live out a dream, which is. Who doesn't want to swim through underwater caves and have that incredible confidence?
Yeah.
Fantastic.
Yeah. So that was wonderful. And then I had another 3 weeks in Ibiza after that, or maybe a month actually, where me and Dave just trained. Mm-hmm. We trained as often as we could. But I was restricted to 55 meters there because we didn't have a boat. My boat wasn't set up for diving over there and it needed some repair. And obviously I didn't have the money to repair a boat. So we were going shore diving. We can get 50, 55.
Okay.
I used Dave's kit. Turned out we can stretch monofin pockets a little bit. He was a size smaller than me, but he had the same stiffness.
Perfect.
So with enough Vaseline, you can squeeze your foot in, and over time, those pockets stretched out. And actually, it's a good fit for me.
Fantastic. Let's get that on quote. Athanasios, if you're listening to this, Gary McGrath just said, with enough Vaseline, you can squeeze anything in. So that's a fantastic quote and advice. I love it. Excellent.
Yeah. Correct me on that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But still, the stress of losing $2,000, 2,000 euros of gear as you're saving for essentially a $5,000, $6,000 competition is just nuts. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's just like, but luckily you had those skills. You had develop those mental skills to deal with incredibly stressful situations.
The patience I'd learned from that first COVID dive, and the months that came after it.
Beautiful.
Chill yourself, and take each day as it comes. In the beginning, it wasn't a problem because, bags go missing, fine.
Yeah.
But 99% of the time they turn up. The frustrating thing was I was being completely ignored by the airline. They just weren't even bothering to reply. And I know they weren't looking for it. I know. It's a huge company.
Yeah.
No one was assigned to my case. No one was replying to the emails. And that's extremely frustrating. It's like you're arguing with someone who doesn't care. And, that feeling of powerless, of being completely powerless. It's a horrible feeling, actually.
It is.
And that impacted my mental health again after the rocky start to the year.
Wow.
Because you're powerless. Someone just takes away any power in your voice. And that's so, I don't know the word, it's like, I don't know the word. It's powerless and you feel like you're nothing.
Yeah.
And they don't care.
They don't care.
Yeah, they don't care. So the weeks turned into months and I was just like, okay. After a month, I was just like, okay, you have to make plans now and assume that you are never getting your stuff back. I emotionally had to kind of let it go. I was like, they're ignoring me. I sent 15 emails, not one reply. This is rude.
That's power.
It's beyond rude. Tell me you've lost it. I don't mind, but tell me.
It's funny you bring that up, but my favorite psychotherapist and world-renowned therapist, Esther Perel, she says the two things that destroy relationships in terms of toxicity are indifference and neglect.
Yeah.
And they can apply to other things in life. When someone is indifferent to your cause and they neglect you, that affects your mental health.
You know, I hope someone from EasyJet listens to this, because it's not good enough the way, and look, I don't want to turn this into a bitching session about EasyJet.
That's why we fly with Wizz Air. What's up, Wizz Air? Hook us up with some ambassadorship. Wizz Air in the house.
But you know the most humiliating thing? Coming here to Egypt, the best flight, cheapest flight was EasyJet. I never felt so humiliated getting on that plane.
Was it?
Yeah, I had to crawl back. And they know that. They know that.
That is called a toxic relationship.
Yeah, it is. It is. I'm in an abusive relationship with EasyJet. And they're just like, they know. They're just like, what are you going to do? We've got cheap flights. You're going to come. You're coming back.
Yeah. And you're going to pay a lot for that luggage again.
So yeah, I was a few weeks out from Vertical Blue, and I had no kit, so I had to start to try and get kit. Luckily, Dave was super kind, and he said, "Take my Monofin."
Amazing.
Yeah, it was great.
And maybe it was meant to be. Maybe you could have only done that national record super deep dive at Vertical Blue with that Monofin.
Who knows, right? You roll with the punches, don't you?
You roll with the punches.
And it all worked out in the end.
Yeah.
So I trained in Dave's wetsuit in Ibiza, trained in Dave's Monofin, trained in Dave's bifins, you know. But it was a good period in Ibiza, because I was able, I wasn't having to like work every day. I could ease off and just focus on going to the gym, putting some muscle on in preparation. And then I went from Ibiza to Cornwall, to George and Dan's place, and did a depth workshop for them.
Fantastic.
And they had a week's break, a week's holiday. And then I flew out to VB like a month before, 3 weeks before.
To the Bahamas.
To the Bahamas, yeah.
And that was cool, because you were already broadcasting and recording your experience by then.
Yeah.
Let's chat about just real quick about like all the supplements, because I remember you did a video where you're bringing all of this food, because food is so expensive there.
Yeah.
But you're also like dialed in with all your supplements. Like,
yeah,
I'm bringing this, because I'm going to be stressing my body for the next month. Yeah. And I need to maintain a balance, essentially.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Should we take a break?
Yes, of course. And we are back from a break. I am incredibly happy because I just had the first heart poop in a long time. And for anybody that lived in Dahab knows that is special, because I just came back from being sick.
Yeah.
And then the other day we went to the chicken place.
We went to the chicken place.
And intoxication.
It didn't agree with either of us.
Liquid coming out of every...
This hole. Might seem like a weird thing for people who haven't visited the Middle East and Dahab, but it's a very normal conversation here. Bless it.
Yeah. We often talk about what comes out of what hole.
Yeah. Anyway, I apologize.
In
we're supposed to be talking about freediving.
Elemental state comes out in. But honestly, I was thinking about it yesterday. It was a good time to meditate, a good time to relax, to be what you were talking about. It took you a year, patient.
Yeah.
Because if you cannot be patient on a micro scale, no fucking way are you going to have the mental focus and fortitude to be patient on a macro scale. Mm. So like I find myself actively noticing I'm impatient because I'm losing a day of training because I'm sick, and then stepping away from myself and being like, really, dude?
Yeah.
Like, your body is intoxicated or sick or tired or whatever. Take a step back, rest. Clearly your body's telling you something. Why feel guilty about it?
Yeah.
Be patient.
This is patience and enjoying the journey is like a training sort of cornerstone for me. It's something super important when you apply that thinking to the actual diving. And it's you can see people that don't have it. They're the people that are constantly squeezing. You know, they're the people that are having blackouts on 60 meter, 70 meter dives, mm-hmm. or less. You know, I think if you've got your technique and your mental game right or partly right, 60 meter free immersion dive is achievable for most humans.
Yes,
I think so. Because in terms of breath hold, is not that challenging.
It's 2 minutes.
Yeah.
It's 2:10.
The EQ is challenging, of course. That takes time to learn, but you've got to do your homework for that. And learning the patience to enjoy the journey. You can see when people don't have it, you know?
Because that's what the free fall is.
Yeah.
The ultimate test in patience.
Yeah, and being present, you know? I love that. I love that, being in the exact moment. No past, no future. It's just you now. And, you know, you speak to Buddhist people who know about Buddhism and stuff, and people who meditate. That's all there is right now.
That's all there is.
The past has already happened. You cannot change it. The future hasn't happened. All there is like that moment. And that's what free diving is to me. It's that free fall, that just you alone and the universe. It's, yeah. This is a 3 o'clock in the morning conversation, isn't it?
It is. I love it. We haven't even taken drugs. We got to do this again on psychedelics.
Yeah, man.
One of the most beautiful things I've ever heard Alan Watts say is obsessing and trying to look into the past as it has answers, not in the sense to learn from it, because that's a good thing, but to try and change the past and obsess with the past is like standing in the back of a ship and trying to make out the wake of the boat, make out the wake that the boat has created, trying to keep the waves alive as they dissipate into the distance.
Yeah.
No, go to the front of the ship and look at what's coming.
Yeah.
As you're in the present moment, look at what's coming next.
Yeah.
Don't go to the back of the ship.
Yeah, it's trying like steering while facing backwards, isn't it?
Exactly, yeah. Steering while facing backwards. Yeah, so that's beautiful. You know, this is fundamentally one of the big themes about our conversation today. The patience you've had, your philosophy to taking time, that lifelong pursuit that people really need to listen and hear, because that's not just what pays off in terms of results and being successful as an athlete, as a person, but it's what makes it truly enjoyable.
Yeah. It's enjoyable because there's, you know, I've been doing this 16 years. You'd think I would get to a point where I say, oh yeah, I'm a finished freediver now. Done. No.
No.
No one ever gets to that stage with anything ever.
That's right.
We're all on the journey. You never get and say, okay, freediving, completed it. Next. Amazing. It doesn't work.
It doesn't work.
No.
Amen.
Anyway, supplements.
Let's start with the penis pills.
Yeah. So Viagra. Luca gave me his stash of Viagra.
Good.
And it works. It works.
Of course.
It's great. I wonder about Viagra and freediving, actually.
Because Viagra,
Dilates everything. Yeah?
It's a vasodilator.
Yeah,
that's right.
Yeah.
That's right. Fun fact: there is nitric oxide in Viagra,
which I was speaking to my buddy who's a breath coach. Nitric oxide is created.
That's right.
In certain parts of the brain.
That's right.
The nose.
Yep. Nasal nitric oxide is produced in the endothelium cells in the nasal cavity.
Okay.
And it's a powerful vasodilator.
Yeah, and he used this as a reasoning of doing breath holds on exhale, because the first thing you do is inhale. And you inhale all that gas. But I don't know much about that. But anyway, we're talking about Viagra, and I want to talk about creatine.
Yeah, let's talk about creatine.
Okay, so one of the things I take, I'm not particularly like scientific, but I know what the body needs. These are, you know, standard bodybuilding supplements. Also, I'm 41. I'll be 41 or 42 in about 10 days.
An old geezer, they would say.
An old geezer. Yeah. Yeah. So creatine, yeah, your body naturally produces it. And as you get older, certainly for men, we if you're doing physical work, you should supplement with it. It's cheap. It's probably the world's most tested supplement. I mean, there's so much research.
Makes sense, right? Yeah, we get that energy molecule, the ATP-CP cycle,
exactly.
Adenosine triphosphates, creatine phosphates, so we need the creatine.
Yeah.
Fantastic. So you take some of that.
Yeah, creatine's great. It gives you a little edge for endurance, for
Beautiful.
Pushing at that point where, you know, your muscles are burning and you want to press that barbell higher. It just gives you that extra ability. Yeah, it's like a standard one that everyone should take, really.
I am writing this down because as I head to Dominica to continue training, I know I'm going to need supplements. Yeah. Creatine. This is good shit.
I got tons of it there. If you're out at the moment, I can give you a little bottle.
Oh, please, yes. Please. Thank you.
So it's cheap. It's cheap. You can get it anywhere.
Yeah.
So
do you take BCAAs as well?
No. I did.
Why no more?
There is some conflicting evidence about whether they do anything.
Interesting.
And it's not concrete enough. And I'm tight with my money. So I thought, okay.
Fair enough.
If it's not like a definite green light, it's helping, then, you know, don't take it.
But creatine is a definite green light based on research.
Yeah, creatine seems to be pretty clear that it works.
You take protein as well, or just?
Yeah, protein.
So creatine and proteins.
And standard, I try to get vegan proteins. I try to stay away from whey. It doesn't mix well with my stomach.
Right.
Which is, I think, is the same with a lot of people.
Fair enough.
Hemp protein I had in the Bahamas. I got hold of hemp protein. Doesn't taste very good. But you mix it in with a smoothie or something. Easy, or if you smash it back in a shaker, you know. I've got given, thank you, Yang Di, a great student of mine, she gave me a jar of protein. It's mojito flavor.
Oh.
Don't do it, kids. It's awful.
Awful.
I think I'm very grateful for it. But it's one of the worst things I've ever tasted. Why do they make something taste like mojito?
Unless it's a mojito.
Yeah.
I don't know why. Yeah. Nevertheless, thank you, Yang Di, for the thought.
Other things like magnesium, just general body function, you know, magnesium's great. And then I've got an iron kind of mix. It's got vitamin C, a bit of B12, folic acid. Standard stuff.
Yeah, because in order to metabolize iron, you need that folic acid and vitamin C. Right, good. Shout out to Adam Freediver for teaching me that.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't even know that was a thing.
Yeah. One thing, I've been taking beta-alanine for the best part of a year.
Interesting.
You know?
Beta-alanine.
It's an amino acid.
Alanine.
Yeah.
Why is beta-alanine something useful?
Body function. I wish I was a bit more up to the science of it, but there's a few key people that I listen to. I've sort of bent Vitamir's ear about supplements and stuff like that.
Okay, Vitamir Maricic.
If there's
a guy in the game who's been doing a lot of science,
extremely knowledgeable.
It's him. Yeah. He's been working a lot with the University of Split out of Croatia, which is one of the few universities that does a lot of research on freedivers, like peer-reviewed clinical trials.
Our
friends, Vitamir, Thibaut, have had their blood drawn at 60-meter depths.
Yeah, and those really kind of interesting stuff. Yeah,
really cool. Awesome. So he told you to do beta-alanine.
No, but he was an example of people I listen to. Because there's a lot of stuff. You go on YouTube, Jesus, or Instagram, and there's so many people giving advice. And
it's too much.
I think half
sometimes.
Of it's bullshit.
Yeah, it is, for sure. We need to remember that we're individuals, and what works for one person might just not work for another person.
Yeah, yes and no. See, people say this a lot, especially with freediving training. Oh, you've got to find what works for you. I'm like, not really. No, you know, there is an individuality to this, but I think also it's a cop-out a little bit. People say, find what works for you, and they end up finding nothing. There's certain things that you have to do, do your EQ drills, give yourself time to acclimatize. And it's not that much of an individual approach if you're an intermediate level freediver. You just got to do the work. So this, like, you know, hyper tailored individual approach. Nah, I think that's people not being sure about what they're doing and looking in all directions rather than following a coach who tells you do this, you know, and sticking to it.
So that is really good advice.
Mm. Antioxidants, super important as well. I started to take astaxanthin. Which is like an algae.
Okay.
This was Alessia takes this.
Alessia Zucchini.
Zucchini takes this.
So it's an algae.
Algae, and it really smells like it as well.
Yeah.
But it comes in capsules and stuff. It can kind of give you a bit of funny burps afterwards.
Spirulina. Cholera. All of these.
Those things.
A lot of things that we need.
But astaxanthin, you know, I've been taking that for a while, and good antioxidant. And also things like coffee. Coffee's a good antioxidant.
Coffee's a great antioxidant.
As a supplement now.
Absolutely, I've heard the same. Making sure your antioxidants are being well taken.
Yeah.
Even if it's a form of berries.
Yeah.
If you can, that's even ideal.
And you know, it took me through VB, an intense mental period, intense training period, and I didn't get sick, which can happen. I just pick up a sore throat. It happened to me in Turkey this year. I went to the World Championships and got sick. because I traveled through the night, you know, traveling through 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah. You got to cash, CMAS World Championships. You were going to do an amazing dive.
Yeah.
And boom, there's another tester to the patience game.
Paid 500 euros for the privilege as well.
500.
Didn't do a single dive. Yeah. But, you know.
There you go.
I'll be back next year.
But it was good because you were there. You got to network. You got to meet people. So, come back from Vertical Blue.
Yeah, it was an unreal trip. It's just a shame I couldn't really end that summer on a bang. You know? Yeah.
It's okay.
But that's okay. So supplement-wise, it's kind of simple. I just and just try and eat varied, which is challenging here in Dahab, you know, to get good vegetables in and stuff like that.
Yes.
So you've got to watch what you eat. So nothing too overcomplicated.
Fantastic. Awesome. So that's a couple of tips on supplements, which if you are pushing serious training, you've got to consider your nutrition and your hydration as priority. Something I really keep in mind, literally, thanks to Gary.
Yeah. I'm sorry. One other thing. I take, there's an enzyme called serrapeptase.
Okay. Serrapeptase.
S-E-R-R-A peptase.
S-E-R-R-A.
S-E.
Serrapeptase.
Peptase, yeah.
Peptase.
T-A-S-E, yeah.
And it's an enzyme.
It's an enzyme from the silkworm. And I think they worked out how to extract it in the 70s, I think.
And what does this serrapeptase do?
Well, it attacks proteins. It eats proteins.
Interesting.
Which is, you've got to take it on an empty stomach, otherwise it's just going to eat what's in your stomach. Proteins that are specifically make up scar tissue.
Oh.
So it's very good at reducing inflammation, anti-inflammatory, sorry. Oh. Yeah.
Serrapeptase is an enzyme.
Yeah, and it's one of those supplements that's like not had massive amounts of testing on it. And the testing that has done, it's like not like clear, yes, 100%. But it does work for the respiratory tract. You know,
amazing.
So scar tissue, respiratory tract in particular. You know, on paper, what could be better for a freediver? So I know. I think Will was taking it a few years ago, and I heard it on the grapevine. Maybe Dean Chaus was taking it as well.
Okay.
And you know, it ticks the boxes. It's cheap, and for a depth period, I'll make sure I'm getting enough of that in. It's hard to say whether it definitely works or not, but as I say, on paper, it ticks a lot of boxes, so why not take it?
Will Truebridge, someone as methodological as him.
Yeah, I trust.
A trained microbiologist.
Yeah.
You know he's done his research.
He's got a degree in genetics. Yes. He's a smart dude, so I'm willing to take that.
If William takes it and Gary takes it, you should take it.
Yeah.
That's going to be on a t-shirt.
Yeah.
Yeah. Beautiful. Awesome. So creatine, protein, BCAAs with a question mark. Definitely keep up your magnesium, zinc, and potassium.
Don't forget
your potassium levels. We've had some friends go into hypokalemia.
Yes.
And that is dangerous. I actually had a student go into hypokalemia on land.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
And it was a syncope, a blackout, loss of consciousness,
wow,
with a recovery time of exceeding 20 seconds. So very odd kind of syncope.
Mm.
And when he messaged me saying thank you, because the only thing he could do, because it was his girlfriend,
yeah,
both of them being my students, the only thing he could do in the situation when she passed out in the bathroom was he could put into effect the training we did in the course.
Fantastic.
And then afterwards, the blood work revealed what I assumed to be hypokalemia.
Wow.
Yeah, thanks to the story and the research that our friend Thibault has done and gone through.
Yeah.
You do not want to mess with low levels of potassium.
Yeah, it sounds pretty nasty. I remember reading his account of how he was just through that. It's not great.
Not great at all. Yeah, keep up with that. Beta-alanine, your algaes, antioxidants, and serrapeptase.
Yeah, and you know how big the supplement industry is. It's multi-billion dollar. There's so much stuff you can take. One thing I want to look at this year is something called Tongat Ali.
Yeah, I read about that.
Interesting, Huberman podcast, he spoke about it.
Yeah, testosterone?
Yeah, a testosterone booster.
Testosterone booster.
Which is interesting. As long as I stay within the levels of the WADA and I don't get busted for excess testosterone.
True.
But I think you probably have to be taking something a bit stronger.
That's for another discussion.
Yeah,
because
another discussion.
The conversation of dopamine, epinephrine, which is derived from dopamine, mm-hmm. adrenaline, and testosterone levels is fascinating.
Yeah.
Really fascinating. And as men our age... you being a few years older than me, it's quite important.
Yeah.
It's quite important, actually, maintaining your levels of testosterone.
Yeah. There's a bit of, people like in fitness industry seem to see 40 as a bit of a marker. I understand that now, from now onwards, it will be harder for me to build muscle.
Yeah.
I'm not a bodybuilder, so, you know, as long as I keep a healthy lifestyle and stuff, I think I'll be fine.
100%.
Yeah. I guess biologically, it's all starting to deteriorate. 10,000 years ago, I would have been the village elder, you know,
yes.
The oldest warrior in the village.
Go see the white eye for wisdom and advice.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Maybe that would be part two of our discussion, because I know we're both fanatics of Dr. Andrew Huberman.
Mm.
I really hope he one day listens to this podcast and I can interview him. It would be like,
I'd be fangirling.
It's my personal objective to convince Andrew Huberman why freediving is a very safe sport.
And I would kind of thinks it's dangerous. Huh?
He kind of thinks it's dangerous.
That's okay.
But I am sure I can convince him on a biochemical level.
Yeah. You got to market it to him.
I got to market it to him and make Dr. Andrew Huberman understand that on a biochemical level, and a well-trained mammalian dive response, like Mr. Gary McGrath has trained over 15 years, is actually quite safe.
Yeah.
It's actually doing 100 plus meter dives is actually, it's actually quite controlled and quite safe. Gary, this has been amazing. I mean, we've chatted about patients, mental state, seeking help, which is something that people, I think, are really going to be inspired to. I know I have been the past year. And understanding.
Just to interrupt, I really meant what I said earlier. Like, if anyone's having a shitty time, send me a message, man.
Absolutely.
Like, so what? I don't care if we've never met. Like, it's the hardest thing in the world to reach out like that.
Yeah.
And if you feel like you want to press send and send me a little note, we'll talk. Yeah.
Please do. Yeah. That's amazing. Thank you for saying that. I bet you... You definitely will have some people reach out to you.
Yeah.
It's amazing sometimes how, just reaching out to a stranger and just saying hello and asking a question like, are you okay?
Yeah.
Can make a big difference.
Yeah.
So, yes, please reach out to this man here on Instagram. You can find him as Gary White Eye.
Gary White Eye.
Yeah. Gary White Eye. And of course, if you are seeking some of the best coaching in the world, come on over to Dahab for a couple of weeks or a month, ideally. And Gary would be honored to coach you through a transformative experience. And if you are in Ibiza in the summertime, make sure to reach out to him as well for his amazing yoga, freediving, cooking, life-changing retreats.
Yeah, yoga and freediving retreats.
Yoga and freediving
retreats. Is the Instagram
retreats.
For the business, but you'll find that through my stuff. So.
Exactly. Absolutely. Yeah. This has been amazing, Gary. Thank you so much. I think we covered so many topics, from overcoming COVID, being patient, reaching out for help, seeking advice, generosity, gratitude, acceptance.
Mm, yeah.
And supplementation and penis pills. Absolutely.
Yeah. I think we talked about freediving a little bit in the middle of all that, didn't we? Did we mention freediving?
We talked about freediving.
Did we?
I think so.
Okay. Good.
And even if we didn't, it doesn't matter.
Yeah, it doesn't matter.
You know, because so many people are coming into this sport, especially after COVID, to literally survive or relive. Find a way to relive.
Yeah.
They've been through so much shit in their life. They've lost people. They've had financial troubles. COVID literally destroyed their livelihood. And they find freediving and they have these cathartic moments where it's truly transformative. It is therapeutic.
Yeah, that's for me, I've always said that. Freediving is therapy.
Freediving is therapy.
Yeah, absolutely.
Thank you, Gary.
Cool. Thank you, Luca.